Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You're listening to Chicago's number one sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. An Odyssey station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the numeral 4-KIDS.
I feel really good in regards to where our organization is, not just from the coaching staff, but the support staff, the with TMed as equipment managers, the video, with Soup. I mean, everybody in here, we've all kind of been through this. We're all working together. And we had a 2-hour and 45-minute team admin meeting last night. And those are never fun. But, I mean, it went like this. And everybody, it feels good. You know what I mean? So we're almost close to back to normal. And I think that's making things a little bit easier for all of us.
Okay, but the injuries certainly aren't. That's eyebrow-raising, at the least, to see that Eddie Jackson and Tevin Jenkins already are out because of injuries that they suffered while working out. So that's not good to really important people. But that's Matt Nagy. Everything's awesome, and Eddie Goldman is there, and he's excited. But there was this is just an avalanche of Bears sound and information that we're getting here.
It is, and it's from the right people that we want to hear from. And that was what really encouraged me. Once everybody knew where everybody was, everybody else started talking. I'm with you, though, Dan. I am concerned when I see Tevin Jenkins' back being an issue and when Jermaine Ifedi is also out. That's not what you want to be seeing out of an offensive line where you don't necessarily know how it's coming together.
No, and the defensive line is really where a lot of my attention is, because that's in large part the identity of this team, with Eddie Goldman back and with Khalil Mack still here. You always keep the focus on Khalil Mack and saying that your window to try to win the Super Bowl has to sync up with his best years. And if, in fact, he is still in his prime, there's no time to waste. Robert Quinn plays in there, too, because we discussed it yesterday. I want to hear from Nagy about the bad year that Robert Quinn had, that Quinn admitted to yesterday, and whether or not this lingering nerve issue in his foot is going to be a thing.
I don't have concerns. I feel good. And, you know, we weren't sure with all these guys when they have some knick-knack injuries where they're at. And, you know, with Robert right now with his health and with this back that he has, we feel good that he's going to get through this training camp and be pretty healthy and strong. So we just got to, day by day, just keep getting him stronger and stronger and getting him where he needs to be. Last year was just such a weird, different year because of not just meeting new teammates, but, you know, just the things you can and can't do with things off the field, meeting people and just with family and stuff. And I just think, like, for all of us, it was different. For him specifically, I just know that he holds himself to a lot of high standards, and he knows that we all, as coaches, want to do everything we can to get him back to what we know he can be.
Hope so. Be gravy, wouldn't it? If all of a sudden he's good?
Even if he's just there, it changes the defense. And he's not just going to be there. We're going to look at that contract, too. Until
I prefer not
up.
To. Yeah, I mean, but better off not.
Lawrence, I mean, I know. I feel like you wanted to move forward from it a little bit yesterday. I feel like you're in a different place about this mentally.
How so?
What changed for you?
With Quinn or the contract or what? I'm not gonna give my. I have the audacity of hope when it comes to him until I have reason to believe it. If people are saying he's moving around well and we can actually watch him out there performing, you know, and that's the proof's gonna be in front of us. I think same goes for Mac, right? I mean, Mac talked about it, and it's amazing that this is Khalil Mack's eighth year. This is eighth year. And he's now looking at his entire career with a different perspective.
Charles Woodson told me a long time ago, he was like, man, you cannot waste time. You know what I'm saying? This is very valuable. You know what I mean? And I understand that now going into year eight and only being in the playoffs maybe three times so far and losing in the first round every one of them. You know what I'm saying? It's very valuable. You know what I'm saying? Time is of the essence, and it's always a sense of urgency.
Good. I like that. And stay healthy.
I don't ever question Khalil Mack's sense of urgency. I just question whether or not he's healthy. But let's put it together. Let's pretend everybody's healthy and fine. You've got Quinn, Mack, Goldman, Hicks.
And Bilal Nichols.
I'm in.
I mean,
corner is still the main concern in this space. Corner is still my main concern.
I think corner, right? And Danny Trevathan in coverage.
Okay.
Nickel corner.
Which...
other starting corner, and now the health of Eddie Jackson, and it's also teams trying to exploit Trevathan in pass coverage. And maybe that just means you take him off the field more in third down situations.
I think the scheme is going to help with that a lot.
That's the idea, right? Is that, yeah. That was kind of the point of it, was you have somebody who isn't going to call stuff that exposes him. But you'd think he did get better at it throughout the course of the year. I mean, there weren't some of these like blatant coverage busts near the end of the year, because he looked really slow to start the year. But I hope you're right. I hope that you can get the most out of him as a run down player. But the fact is, teams throw on first and second down too.
Well, and my concern with Trevathan, I think it was yours as well in the beginning of the year, because I remember how you were tweeting, watching games. It's what happens when a position player gets to the linebacker level of the defense, right? If you break past that defensive line and you're already looking at 5 yards, you need Trevathan to make it only 5 yards.
Yeah, I think the point is having Goldman makes a huge difference.
Precisely.
Having Goldman at least stacking the middle of that line is going to help Danny Trevathan be a more effective player. Back to Mack for a second here, because he knows that despite everything that's gone on and despite all of his multiple nagging injuries last year, he's not here for the talk.
To me, it sounds like excuses. But for me personally, I know I could play better. And so ultimately, what I control is what I can control, you know what I mean? And that's everybody's approach to this season. What you can control is what you control, but what you bring to the table, man, we got to bring it all together and be what we know we can be. And that's a great defense. And just talking about it is not something that I'm accustomed to. I'm an action guy, and so I'm not going to say it. I'll show you better than I can tell you, you know what I mean?
I'm ready. Ready to see it.
Khalil Mack gets you ready, but that's not who we want to hear from the most right now. I appreciated the fact that Eddie Goldman actually spoke yesterday.
It was really challenging. You know, when I made the decision, you know, I weighed all of my options, and, you know, just thinking I would be away from the game for a year, it really took a toll on me, especially when I watched the season and how it played out and how we, you know, made the playoffs and everything. You know, it was something to experience, but it wasn't really, you know, a fun thing.
I can't imagine. He also described his one and only regret.
The only regret that I do have is just the fact that, you know, my teammates went to battle without me. You know, that'll be my only regret.
But if all that is true, where were you at minicamp?
I have so many questions like that. Why did it take so long to confirm that he was playing this year?
As in, until he walked in 2 days ago.
Right. Like, what? How did he get here? How did he get to this point? Because, and I'm not, you know, I'm not going to make this a whole thing about questioning his motivation. If he's here, he's here. And if he's in physical shape, I assume he's in enough mental shape that he's fully committed to the team. But I'd like to know about the process that how he got to this decision, why he skipped minicamp, and then did, and I don't know if he answered any of those questions, because that is figuring out what he went through and why it was so private, why there wasn't a dialogue with the team as this was going on.
And I think we're going to see, even in the reps that he takes at training camp that we're able to see, even before preseason games happen, we're going to see, A, how in shape he really is, of course, and then B, how they plan on using him. Are they going to ease him back in? Are they going to trust him with his previous defensive responsibilities that he had in 2019? I think, once again, the stats show when you have Goldman and you have a healthy Akeem Hicks, that run defense is remarkably different. And without him, it was remarkably different. We were talking about linebackers needing to make tackles more than we were talking about being stopped at the line of scrimmage. That's what happens. So how are we going to see that play out? How are we going to see the enthusiasm balanced with the just getting back to shape? Because all these injuries already give me some concern.
We have a little breaking news here. This is from Jeff Passan of ESPN. The Chicago White Sox are finalizing a deal to acquire second baseman Cesar Hernandez from Cleveland. Sources tell ESPN. The White Sox have long been in the market for a second baseman. They get one in the 31-year-old Hernandez, who is hitting .231, on base .307, slugging .431 with 18 home runs. So again, that is Jeff Passan saying the White Sox are finalizing a deal to acquire second baseman Cesar Hernandez. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a name that Steve Stone gave us when he was on with us earlier in the week.
He did, and it's not Trevor Story, and it's in the division. And were we concerned about what was going to happen with Cleveland and how they were going to address all of this?
Yep. 31. I'm going to grab his stats and get caught up with everything we need to know about Cesar Hernandez, but that seems like the move that was expected, right? Now let's find out what they gave up for him. We're going to stay on this. We're going to take a brief timeout. Let's come back. Let's find out what you think. 312-644-6767. Looks like the White Sox are making a move for veteran second baseman Cesar Hernandez. Your thoughts next on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
He's got the top of the order, Cesar Hernandez.
Well, let's hope that continues.
Hernandez, deep right field, down the line. Good night! Cesar Hernandez with a walk-off home run, a two-run shot. They get Colome for the second time this year in a walk-off situation.
One of the guys you want to keep an eye on, and I don't know if Cleveland would trade with the White Sox, but Hernandez at second base. If you're looking for a second baseman with Frazier off the board, Hernandez at second base is a switch hitter and a guy who can hit the ball out of the park. And I've had no discussions with anybody. I just look at players like everybody else looks at them. You could do a lot worse than Cesar Hernandez at second. So that's one of the guys to keep your eye on.
Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Psychic Steve Stone strikes again. Miss
How?
A little, miss a
How
lot.
Did he do this?
Cesar Hernandez, indeed, on his way to the White Sox. We are waiting to find out what the White Sox are giving up. It is an intra-divisional deal. And some information here from Zach Mizell of The Athletic said that Hernandez has a $6 million club option for 2022. So there's a little bit of value there. It's not just a rental. He's already established a new career high with 18 home runs. The advanced metrics and walk and strikeout rates are in line with his production last season. Defensively, however, he struggled after capturing a Gold Glove Award at second base in 2020. This year, he ranks in the bottom 10% of the league in StatCast's outs above average. I don't know if that's statistically significant or not in the sample that we have, but I think it's hard to go from a Gold Glove Award to being bad at your job. But it'll be interesting now to see what they gave up to get him.
That's the key here is you wanted a second baseman. You got one. I'm okay with this because it's not theoretically going to be at the same price as, say, a Trevor Story trade. And the other notable thing about Cesar Hernandez is he's a switch hitter. So you've got that going for you. He was in the Phillies system. I remember covering him a bit when he had come up with the Phillies when they were rebuilding. That was 2015-ish. He's been in their system since 2013. So the Sox make a move, and now we just wait to see if they're going to make a move for a reliever. That's still my main concern. It's been our main concern as a show. Does this get you where you need to be now that you've got Leury Garcia perhaps in a more limited role, depending? We still need to figure out what's going on with Eloy Jimenez, but Leury in a more limited role. I like Leury more in the infield, the outfield, obviously.
Yes.
And then you've got Mendick, who was at second base and had a fine night last night, by the way. But that's the Royals. That's not a playoff team. So where do you sit with that?
It's fine. I think this move, this is, again, pending what they did, finding out what they gave up. And I can't imagine it's a lot. I can't imagine there's going to be a prospect we've ever heard of that's going back in this deal. But, you know, you might be surprised. So pending that, I would say it's fine that it's an upgrade. They have an established, solid major league player who is better than replacement level. If you think that Mendick is at best a replacement level player, this guy is certainly a couple increments better than that. Veteran presence, like you say, switch hitter, and he's got pop, and they need more pop. I think Rick Hahn knows that. I mean, the fact that they have scored as many runs as they have without relying on the home run has been, it seemed like an outlier in my mind. You've got to hit home runs, especially in the playoffs. You've got to hit home runs if you want to win a World Series. Ball go far, team go far. Remember that mantra. That is how you hit three-run homers, you win playoff games, you can win the World Series. And I think this is a step to acknowledge that.
And to everybody who asks, why did the Yankees trade for Joey Gallo? Because nobody cares about their strikeout numbers.
Right.
If they did, they wouldn't have traded for him. They want that home run bat. They needed a left-handed bat, and they got it. And these are the types of moves, the accessory moves, if you will, sometimes, that can make a difference. I did not think, though, that an infielder would be the first trade deadline move that we would see. I did think it was going to be in the pen.
And Cesar Hernandez only strikes out, I say only, 21.4% of the time, which for a guy with 18 home runs is not crazy. That's the numbers have gone as he has tried for more home runs. The strikeout rate has gone up a little bit, but that's not an outsized strikeout rate for somebody who produces that kind of power. So we'll see. We'll see. There could be more action today, and I'll be interested to see the White Sox lineup as well, which is should be due out any time, and whether or not Eloy Jimenez is in it. So I wanted to ask you, the White Sox fan, your thoughts on this move. The Sox have just made a trade, and they've got a new second baseman in Cesar Hernandez. What do you think? 312-644-6767. I think the response should be exactly yours, Layla. What else? This should be the start,
yes.
Right? More. Be greedy.
224 texts in and says, Cesar Hernandez is just worse Eduardo Escobar.
Yeah, kind of.
Less expensive, we would assume. Less expensive Eduardo Escobar. How do you feel about that, by the way? The Brewers making a big move there and getting Escobar, who is one of the most coveted bats in the market.
Yep. They've been aggressive.
I still go back to the question, though, in the National League, you're probably winning the Central, Brewers. So do you really think you're going to have enough pieces there to take down a Dodgers, Padres, or Giants team? Not that you shouldn't try, but given the relative cost for them, was that a trade that made sense?
Yeah, I think so. If we're going to hold them to the same standard, you can't presume that you're glass-ceilinged. You can't just say because these teams right now are better than we are, therefore we have no chance of beating them in a playoff series. That's just a defeatist way of running a baseball team. And look, the Brewers, even as other teams weren't signing veteran free agents, they have zagged where others have zigged, and they have decided to do some of that stuff. So I like their competitiveness. If you're asking about like peak Cesar Hernandez, the best year that he had was with the Phillies in 2016. He was nearly a 4-WAR player, and a lot of that was defense. He only had a weighted runs created plus of 107, but he was an excellent defensive player that year. So it would certainly be nice if he could get his glove skills back. An update here: James Fegan of The Athletic says Eloy Jimenez is not playing today. Oh. Also, Jose Abreu has a stiff neck and is not playing. Tim Anderson has a day off. That's the latest from James Fegan regarding the White Sox plans for today.
Then what is the lineup?
I don't know. I think, look, they've got guys. They can just put, it's the Royals, and they've been bum slaying all year. So they have been getting by with guys. I hope everybody's okay. And that's not enough of an update on Eloy. I need to know more. Is he getting a diagnostic test? Are they going to MRI the thing? How bad a tweak was it?
That's it. Yeah, we're all trying to figure out what's going on with Eloy Jimenez. But, Dan, even yesterday, the Sox only managed 5 hits against that Royals team.
Mm-hmm.
Bubich is a nice pitcher, but this is not what you want to see offensively. So I hope Cesar Hernandez is a nice complement into that lineup for them. Is what they need it to be.
Take a phone call here from William in Lansing on Bernstein and Rahimi on the Score. Hey, William.
Hey, Dan, Layla, thanks for taking my call. Big fan of the show. So, love this move by the White Sox. I think I've been praying for them to get Lurie out of second base for a few weeks here. I love the fit. Real good switch hitting option, good defense. But I gotta target this question to Layla. You were mentioning they need to do a little more. What bullpen pitcher specifically would you like to see the Sox target? I'm going to hang up.
Ryan Tepera. I think Ryan Tepera would be a good fit for them. I don't know if it happens because it's the Cubs. And I don't know what the Cubs would want back. I think they do want pitching prospects. But Tepera is a right-hander reliever. He has his career best year right now in ERA and in WHIP. And his strikeout-to-walk ratio is his career best, too, if we're going there.
There's a tweet here from Steve Stone who says, I've told you folks that our front office will make a trade or trades before the deadline. Last night after a tough loss, the frenzy was intense. I told you to relax. Says, today we'll play our 14th game since the All-Star break. Win, it'll be +9. Lose, +8. 2 weeks ago was +8. Stay calm, folks. I think people are calm. Bruce Levine of The Score says, the White Sox and Tampa have had multiple discussions. Sox would like bullpen and second base help. I imagine that he doesn't need the second base help now. Says Tampa's interested in young, controllable, right-handed hitter back from the Sox. Says the injury to Fairbanks may impact available depth the Tampa would have had from the pen. But things are flying fast and furious now.
Here's a good indication of the trade market currently, because Bob Nightingale, take it for what you will, is reporting that the White Sox are giving up Connor Pilkington in the Hernandez trade with Cleveland.
Pilkington?
That's your market right now. If you're trying to rebuild your team, maybe you're not going to get what you want if you're a seller. But seems reasonable for the White Sox, does it not?
Googling Connor Pilkington with a K. Okay, there he is. I'm looking at him. Connor Pilkington of the AA Birmingham Barons so far has an ERA this year of 3.48. He is pitching 62 innings. He struck out 71 with a whip of just 0.92.
Well, and if there's one thing I know about Cleveland, they do know some pitching when they see it.
He was a third-round pick. Actually, it seems like from Mississippi State, 2018 third-round pick, 81st overall. He is 6'3", 230, lefty. Maybe a better prospect. Okay.
And shout-out to whoever's texting us from 847, keeping an eye on Bears practice. Thank you for that.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Reports about Jalen Johnson coming out, and now he's back in. So thank you. We appreciate the real-time reporting. It's nice to have fans there. Can't wait for the 815. Can't wait for the Guardians pitching development staff to turn Pilkington into Shane Bieber. That's the fear. That's always my fear.
Maybe he's pretty good. I don't know. I hadn't heard of Connor Pilkington. We hadn't heard him discussed. It's a fun name to say, Connor Pilkington. It seems like that should be anagrammed into something, just looking at it. But my head's not working well enough right now at this point in the day. But he will be a Guardian, and that means the Guardians will send the White Sox Cesar Hernandez to be their regular second baseman. And my guess is this is the start of things.
And according to Jay Zawoski, MLB.com does not have Pilkington in the Sox top 30. And that's where I sit with this. He's also a college arm, Mississippi State guy. Mm-hmm. So I always get a little concerned about the miles on the arm if you're needing somebody immediately, but they're not. That's why he's in AA right now. Not one of the pitching names you think of prospect-wise if you're going to have to give up someone. So this seems like they got a switch-hitting bat. It's helping their infield. And it serves a need. But I still want to see a right-handed reliever. I also saw a text from 708 saying I prefer Ian Kennedy. I think that's a name a lot of people want to see. We've heard Kennedy before. But I still think that the Cubs likely trade to pair to somebody. Do you think he'd go to the White Sox, though, after what happened with Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease and Jose Quintana? Because I don't, as I say it out loud.
I don't think the two teams are done trading with each other. They have they've done it in the past. I think just because you think you got fleeced on something before, you're not in the same situation right now. And every deal is its own entity, its own negotiation in and of itself. So, boy, this certainly fired things up on Twitter. A lot of the takes on Cesar Hernandez seem similar, and it sort of sums it up here. Colin Whitchurch, a longtime baseball writer, works for Action Network now. He says, not going to find a Cesar Hernandez hot take here. He's better than what they have out there right now, and that's a good thing. That's a very medium take that I think makes a lot of sense and is very smart. We have the Midday Midway coming up, and while we do it, we're going to keep an eye on the trade deadline. We'll obviously break in with anything that goes on in sports in that regard. But there were two notable celebrity deaths yesterday that I think we should also note.
Snakes on a plane is great and all, but snakes in your house is way worse. Way worse.
That's next, the Midday Midway on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and Rahimi. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Our Thursday has already brought you some baseball talk, a wide-ranging interview with Ian Happ in which he gave us a new comedy bit, and that was regular guys do Olympic events based on Layla's creative question to Ian about Olympic sports, so that was fun. We waded through a lot of Bears sound from yesterday and got nervous about some of the injured players, and then White Sox news broke as they have traded double-A pitching prospect Connor Pilkington, the left-hander, to Cleveland in exchange for veteran second baseman, the 31-year-old switch hitter Cesar Hernandez, he of 18 home runs. And we discussed that as it happened, and with that, hopeful that that is the start of more acquisitions for the White Sox.
There's a really, really, really upset Brewers fan right now who I'm laughing with because he's mad that I was asking about Eduardo Escobar. Okay, let's take the Brewers salt all the way into October. Call me when they face whoever's going to win the NL East, which we still don't know yet because that's really competitive, especially if, say, the Phillies trade for Craig Kimbrel, for example, or the Padres make another move, which they very well could, or the Dodgers or the Giants, who are still the best team in the National League.
That's not nice. Why you called.
Whatever. So you've heard of snakes on a plane. What about snakes in your house? What about snakes in your bed, under your mattress, and they're having babies?
Okay, how do you not find out before they actually are, like, nesting and reproducing? You should probably know they're there.
You don't. A Georgia couple found 18 snakes under their bed. 18.
That's too many. And I don't have a snake problem. I don't have a fear of snakes generally, unless they're the kind that can kill you. Then I'm appropriately fearful.
Augusta, Georgia resident Trish Wilcher told WJBF-TV that she and her husband, Max, were about to go to bed one day, and she saw what she thought was some fuzz on the floor. And then that fuzz moved when she reached down. And then she realized another piece moved, and another. And then they realized that they had snakes.
What kind?
I am not sure. There's a picture of this.
If it's garter snakes, obviously it's a nuisance, and you can get rid of them. But if it's like king cobras or something, then you got to move.
Wouldn't you know if you had a king cobra under your bed?
Like a whole family of them? With the little ones, if they're babies, I don't know that I would know.
But the mom, you would know.
Yeah, because it's like 8 feet long. Yeah, and you'd probably be dead already.
So the picture of the snake is really funny. The mom snake, because she's visibly upset with these people for disturbing what she was working on here. Like, the picture of the mom snake is her, like, looking up and, like, angry with her mouth open. I'm like, meh. Like, what are you doing? Why'd you do this to me? I found a really nice place for my babies, your house. So, yeah, she had recently hatched 17 babies under her bed, and they didn't kill anybody. The snakes didn't kill anyone, and the couple didn't kill anybody else. Snake-wise, they used a grabber tool to place each one in a linen bag.
Not a grobber tool. That's different.
Oh, what is a grobber tool? Does it argue with Grody?
I hope so. All right.
Does it put up with interesting calls in the 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock hours of the evening?
I can't identify the snake from this picture. My guess, like, if it's definitely, you can tell by the head, it's not a pit viper. It doesn't look like it has poison sacs there, so I don't think I'm quite as worried. and they got all the steaks in the same bag. That's really not that easy to do. Kind of an achievement. I'm actually kind of impressed.
They said that it took hours, but I do laugh at the mom snake because she really does look upset. Like, what are you doing? This is my home.
If I say the name Ron Popeil, does that mean anything to you?
Food dehydrator?
Yeah.
Yes,
Ron Popeil has passed away at 86. And for you, it was the food dehydrator. But depending on any of us, I think we could sort of be defined generationally by the Popeil product that was most pitched to us. Because he and his dad go back having sold the Chop-O-Matic and the Veg-O-Matic, the Showtime Rotisserie and Barbecue, Mr. Microphone. Remember that? Hey, I'll come back, pick you up later. And there's also Pocket Fisherman. And that was for me, it was the Pocket Fisherman was really what memorable because I thought it was just cool. And I've actually caught a bass on a Pocket Fisherman because a guy had it. And I said, can I cast that? I want to say that I caught a fish on a Pocket Fisherman. And I did. I actually caught a largemouth bass using it. So I can say that. But you're wondering, why do you hear that sound in the background as we're talking about Ron Popeil? And the reason is, sadly, ZZ Top bassist and keyboardist Dusty Hill died yesterday at age 72. Apparently died in his sleep. He was off tour, having suffered from what was described as a hip injury. It's unclear if his death is related to that. But I just want to say that he was awesome. And I loved ZZ Top. And for what they did, I think he was born in Dallas, but from Houston. What they did for the Texas boogie-woogie sound and combining some of their bluesy influences with the psychedelic rock that they grew up with as well, and changing their sound as they went, introducing synthesizers, the sort of glam 80s sound that they had. They've got a unique sound in large part due to the bass line that Dusty Hill put in there. And while Billy Gibbons, as the primary vocalist and the lead guitarist, is obviously the more recognizable name and sound, you can't have that music, that sound, without his bass line. And this quote is everything to me, because he was asked about his tone, and he said, this is Dusty Hill describing the way he played the bass. And there's great quotes from ZZ Top all the time, the way they discuss things. I think they said, we only know three chords. We say, play it loud, play it straight, play it hard. And he said, my sound is big, heavy, and a bit distorted because it has to overlap the guitar. He said, someone once asked me to describe my tone, and I said it was like farting in a trash can. He said, what I meant is, it's raw, but you've got to have the tone in there. So pour out a little Shinerbach today for an absolute legend of Dusty Hill. They say that they are going to keep the band together. They do expect that some their old guitar tech, who is going to step in as their bassist, and they're going to try to keep the music going a little bit, but it certainly won't be the same.
You know that this song, LaGrange, is a reference to LaGrange, Texas, yes?
And it's a bordello, right?
Now that I cannot confirm nor deny, but that is the rumor. I have only passed through LaGrange because that is what one usually does on the way from Houston to Austin.
You have probably, in your various sojourns throughout the Lone Star State, my guess is if we actually trace back the roots and stories behind all of their songs, you've been at all of the places. Because the crossover between Dallas and Houston and this band and that state with you and your career following college football, high school football, and all of it, I think would be it would be the soundtrack to it, perhaps.
The major job back then was not to actually get the highlights of the football teams. It was to just get to the game. Because
the distances?
Yeah, and like Google Maps wasn't as reliable then as it is now. Neither was Apple Maps, and sometimes you'd end up in the middle of a field in Oklahoma, and that definitely happened. But in this case, yes, this does refer to LaGrange, just outside of Houston, which is, I believe, not just outside. It's an hour and a half west, but to us, it's outside.
And it's it was in the 80s when they really got their new sound and the look of growing out the beards. They didn't always have the long beards. And yes, as you know, the great trivia question is the member of the band without a beard is their drummer, whose name is Frank Beard. And everybody thought that was made up. It is not. And they were known for their ribald lyrics, and they were never a critical darling because the critics always thought they were kind of gross and silly. But over time, even some of the harshest critics warmed up to appreciating what they did with their sound. And it was in the 80s when they folded in synthesizers and they came out with Eliminator, and that's when Sharp Dressed Man is still these classic rock staples. But a lot of their deeper cuts, like Jesus Just Left Chicago and other stuff like that, is really, really good music. Cheap Sunglasses has still got a great groove to it. And it's, I will say that when I listen to classic rock radio or listen to XRT, whatever, they're a band I never turn off. And I almost always turn up. Almost always. I'm never unhappy to hear a song.
I also feel like they fall into the category of bands you will almost always hear being played before a football game in a stadium.
Yeah, it's a pretty good thing to be. That means you must be you must have had a pretty good career, right?
But seriously, I think it's some sort of requirement that sporting venues, specifically football stadiums, perhaps mostly college and high school, have ZZ Top on the ready.
And he said that he started playing bass only because he said he was a singer and he played cello, and his brother played guitar. His band needed a bassist, so Dusty Hill came home to find a bass on his bed, and he joined his brother on stage at a Dallas beer joint. And he said, I started playing that night by putting my finger on the fret, and when the time came to change, my brother would hit me on the shoulder. And he was...
That's not a very resounding review of playing bass.
Well, he was living in Houston in 1969, working with the blues singer Lightning Hopkins. Ooh. He said when Frank Beard, a high school friend, suggested that he audition for an open spot in a trio called ZZ Top, founded by Mr. Gibbons, and they played their first show together in February of 1970. So their early songs leaned heavily on sexual innuendo. Sometimes they set the innuendo aside. And here it says, LaGrange, their big hit on Tres Hombres, was indeed about a bordello. I think that's why.
Oh, yeah, and there's a LaGrange in Illinois, right?
LaGrange Park, yeah. Kenny Owens from LaGrange. Hey. What are they talking about? Sent me a fax with a question about Paul Popovich.
Either way, rest in peace, Dusty Hill. And that has been the Midday Midway. Matt Spiegel might have some music thoughts among baseball thoughts when he joins us next on The Score.
Cubs fans, the trade deadline is almost here. Will your favorite core players be traded? When trade deadline news breaks, count on us to deliver on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, official radio home of the Cubs and Odyssey Station. Trade deadline coverage is brought to you by Amy Kite from Keller Williams Infinity Realty, your home sold guaranteed, or Amy can buy it or rent it out. Call Amy at 847-877-9881 or online at amywillsellyourhome.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.